Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Fantasize Me, the podcast where I take characters real or imagined, and I fantasize them as D&D characters. I'm your host, Zach Katz, and today we are going to be fantasizing Brendan Fraser, because of course we're going to. I'm sure you're probably thinking, but it's so close to Christmas. Why aren't you doing a Christmas character? If you think Brendan Fraser isn't a gift, then why are you even listening? Leave. First, like and subscribe, but then leave. Anyway, Brendan Fraser, he's an American-Canadian actor. I did not know he was Canadian. I mean, to be fair, I didn't know too much about him, just that I love him. So, Brendan Fraser, he's the youngest of four boys born in Indianapolis, Indiana. And his parents are Canadian. His mother was a sales counselor. His father was a former journalist who worked as a Canadian Foreign Service officer for the Government Office of Tourism. But his maternal uncle, George Généreux, was the only Canadian to win a gold medal in the 1952 Summer Olympics at the Olympic Trap, which I thought was very interesting. The Olympic Trap, I'm pretty sure that's like clay pigeon shooting or something like that, where the targets fly up and you have to shoot them. He has three older brothers. He has Irish, Scottish, German, Czech, and French-Canadian ancestry, so he holds dual American and Canadian citizenship, which I always think it's so cool when people are like, oh, I have dual citizenship. I'm like, what are you doing in America then? Go run off to your free healthcare and affordable education. Anyway, Fraser's family moved often during his childhood. He lived in California, in Washington, in Ontario, the Netherlands, Switzerland. He attended Upper Canada College, which is a private boarding school in Toronto, but while on holiday in London town, on vacation in London, he attended his first professional theater show, which supposedly began his interest in acting. So he graduated from Seattle's Cornish College of the Arts in 1990 and began acting at a small acting college in New York City. He planned on studying toward a Master of Fine Arts in Acting from Southern Methodist University, but stopped in Hollywood on the way and decided to stay there to work in film. And aren't we happy that he did? He got his first leading film role in the 1992 comedy film Encino Man. I don't know if you've seen Encino Man, but it's... I haven't seen it in a while, but I remember as a kid, I watched it a lot because my grandmother told me that I was related to Pauly Shore. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if I believe her. But anyway, so I watched it a lot. He played a caveman who was frozen in ice and then thawed out in the present day, or 1992 present day. And the film is considered a cult film, a cult classic. And of course it is. It's Encino Man. His first major box office success was with the 1997 comedy film George of the Jungle, which is another movie that I just love. It's just, it's so funny. And he's so good in it. I love him in comedic roles. But then came The Mummy. In 1999, Mummy Returns in 2001. And those were like his biggest commercial successes. Because who hasn't seen The Mummy? But I didn't know this about The Mummy. I remember I was talking to one of my friends and she said The Mummy was the movie she was watching when she realized that she was bisexual. And I'm like, oh, you know, that's cool. And then I was talking to another friend later and she told me, yeah, The Mummy is when I like found out that I was bisexual. And I'm like, that's funny that you say that. And then I just kept hearing that. So I searched the internet because I'm like, is this just some weird phenomenon? And it is. It is. The Mummy is the film where a lot of people, I guess, have figured out that they are bisexual, probably owing to the cast being just so gorgeous. Brendan Fraser, Rachel Weisz, like, I mean, come on. It's also a great movie, but I just thought it was really interesting that multiple people shared this experience in regards to The Mummy, and I love that. That's awesome. Let's see. What else was he in? Oh, Looney Tunes Back in Action. Okay. Can we talk about Looney Tunes Back in Action? It's amazing. He plays DJ Drake, who's a struggling stuntman, and he did stunts for Brendan Fraser in The Mummy. So his character that he's playing did stunts for he himself in The Mummy, and at the end of the movie, he even punches Brendan Fraser in the face. You get to see Brendan Fraser punch Brendan Fraser in the face. Really funny. Daffy and Bugs Bunny are with them the whole time. There's a Dalek. There's even a scene where Shaggy and Scooby-Doo are criticizing Matthew Lillard's portrayal of them in the live-action movie, or portrayal of Shaggy, rather, in the live-action movie. It's such a weird, like, meta fun movie. Everyone's like, oh, Space Jam's the best Looney Tunes movie. And I'm like, okay, you only think that because you've never seen Looney Tunes back in action. And you're wrong, and you need to know and accept that. Looney Tunes back in action is superior, and this is the hill I will die on. But anyway, he also made guest appearances on television shows. Like, I'm sure you all remember him on Scrubs, which, oh, breaks my heart every time I watch it. I just love the punishment, I guess. But he's just so good in that. And then he eventually returned for The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, which was the third movie in the Mummy series. And I wasn't a big fan of it. I think I've only seen it once because, like, he was in it, but it focused more on, like, his son. And I'm like, okay, but more Brendan Fraser. So he's been in a lot of things. I'm really only talking about the things that I've seen him in. But, you know, he's done a lot of work. He's like a famous professional, incredible actor. And recently in the series Titans, which is a kind of gritty reboot take on the Teen Titans, I watched that and I saw two seasons of it and I wasn't too thrilled, but I'm probably going to watch the third because Superboy is so cute and I love him. But there was an episode where he portrayed Cliff Steele in the show, and he was so good, and I'm like, wow, I want more of him. And then there was a spin-off series, Doom Patrol, where he continues to voice Cliff Steele, and he also appears as him in flashbacks, and he's so good in it. I'm like, oh, yes. It's like, I feel like Titans went too far with, like, the gritty reboot. Like, everything has to be dark and morose. And Doom Patrol is much more comedic while also being dark. And I just think they have a very good balance with that, in part for Brendan Fraser's performance. And I also read that, you know, the string of recent appearances by him have led many publications to label his sudden comeback as the Brennaissance, which I don't know why that word tickles me. Renaissance just means rebirth. So Brennaissance, rebirth of Brendan Fraser. And you gotta love that. That's amazing. He was recently cast to portray the villain Firefly in the upcoming superhero film Batgirl, set in the DC Extended Universe. So we have that to look forward to. I love that. But he is just a really talented guy. He speaks French, serves on the board of directors for Filmmate International. He's an accomplished photographer. He uses instant cameras, and there's even a book called Collector's Guide to Instant Cameras, which has a dedication to Brendan Fraser. He's an accomplished amateur archer, and he used his skills in the History Channel series Texas Rising. It's funny that they say, you know, Renaissance, because he is like kind of a Renaissance man who can just do all of these awesome things. So I've read a bit about why he took this sabbatical of sorts, and there are a lot of theories, I guess. One is that, you know, the stunts that he performed in all of these action roles, like The Mummy, they messed him up. They messed him up. He needed a partial knee replacement, a laminectomy, vocal cord surgery. And a laminectomy is when they remove a portion of a vertebra, which is the roof of the spinal canal. And that's a major spine operation. So they're big things. And also, I debated whether or not to talk about this, and I'm still not sure. No, I'm going to. So he had several surgeries over the period of 7 years, but also he got divorced, his mother passed away, and in 2018, Brendan Fraser said that he was sexually assaulted by, by Philip Burke, the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. And, you know, I read a bit about that, how, you know, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association is like, he did nothing wrong. It was just kind of like, it sounded like a blanket apology where it was like, oh, if I've done anything to upset him, like, it was not my intent. Like, so sorry that I didn't do anything, of course, because that's always what the response is. But I read in an article that Brendan Fraser believes that's partly why his career derailed a little bit. you know, there was this really powerful, influential man who sexually assaulted him, and it's... Oh, it's this thing where, like, people in power just think they can get away with things with no consequence, and if you stand up to them, because they're in power, they can make things really difficult for you, which is why all of these terrible people can keep getting away with things like sexual harassment, like discrimination, like racism and xenophobia, because they have power and people just don't stand up to them for fear of these ramifications. But Brendan Fraser came forward during that, you know, like Me Too movement, Time's Up movements, which is awesome. And he spoke out. And I think that's so important because I've heard people say like, oh, well, men can't be sexually harassed. What? Yeah, anyone can be. And it's important to have men who have been abused be part of the conversation. I think that's really important that, you know, people like Brendan Fraser and Terry Crews have spoken up against sexual harassment. Because it sounds like it's an epidemic within Hollywood, and the only way to end it is to draw attention to it and try to get those people in power who think they can get away with it to realize that, hey, just because you're in power doesn't mean shit. So all of this combined kind of launched him into a depression. And, you know, combined with his health issues at the time, backlash with the industry over speaking out against this prick, caused his career to decline. And of course he was launched into a depression. All of this terrible stuff happened to him. And dealing with several surgeries over 7 years, that amount of emotional and mental strain and physical strain, I mean, we all know that everything's interconnected. In the biopsychosocial models, there's just a lot of factors where it's like, yeah, of course he was depressed. No shit. What's important is there's a freaking renaissance right now, which is so awesome. He faced all this stuff. He spoke out and he's hopped back on the saddle, which is fitting because he likes to ride horses, but he's persevered and didn't stay down. You know what I mean? And it's just such a great success story. I don't know about you, but I like it when good people succeed and are able to persevere. It might just be me, but that's awesome. To speak in Brendan Fraser's other language for just a moment,
c'est incroyable, il est tellement génial, et vous êtes une inspiration pour moi et pour beaucoup d'autres.
And I'm sorry if my French is bad, I'm still learning, but I'm pretty much just saying he's incredible, he's really awesome, and he's an inspiration to myself and to a lot of other people. I've struggled with mental health issues my whole life, and it's just so important to hear about people who have also struggled with things and just still kept going. But anyway, now that we have some background about Brendan Fraser, let's get into the actual point of the podcast, which is to make them as a D&D character. So let's pick out his background. I gave this a little thought, and Brendan is the first American-born actor to receive the honor of being inducted into Canada's Walk of Fame. So I'm like, okay, how about folk hero? So I'm gonna give him the folk hero background. So with this, he's going to gain skill proficiencies in animal handling and survival, tool proficiencies with one type of artisan's tools, and land vehicles. So good with animals, good at just general nature survival stuff, good at driving, and good with one type of artisan's tools of our choice. Well, let's see. I don't really know too much about his hobbies, so I'm gonna go with wood carver's tools. Because Brendan Fraser looks like he's at least dabbled with wood carving. You know what I mean? So perfect. Proficiencies in animal handling, survival, wood carver's tools, and land vehicles. And now that we have his background folk hero, we can pick his race. So I was going to go with Asimar, which are essentially descendants of Celestials. Because whenever I think of Brendan Fraser, I'm like, ugh, angel. But I think I'm going to go with Warforged, because it's just fun, and he plays what's kind of a Warforged in Doom Patrol. Cliff Steele is just a brain trapped in this robot body, Warforged are a little different than that. They're a blend of organic and inorganic materials that are kind of just like infused with alchemical fluids and magic. So as a Warforged, for his ability scores, he's going to get +2 to Constitution, and then he can pick one from Strength, Dexterity, Intelligence, Wisdom, and Charisma. So we'll save that for after we roll his stats, so we have just one extra point we can put wherever. He has the ability Constructed Resilience, so he's going to have advantage on saving throws against being poisoned, and he has resistance to poison damage. He doesn't need to eat, drink, or breathe. He's immune to disease, and he doesn't need to sleep, and magic can't put you to sleep. He also gains the ability Sentry's Rest, which is a really awesome ability. So when he takes a long rest, which is usually 8 hours of sleep, he can instead spend at least 6 hours in an inactive, motionless state. And in this state, he appears inert, like essentially turned off, but it doesn't render him unconscious, so he can see and hear as he normally would. Which is why it's called Sentry's Rest. A sentry is just someone who keeps watch. So they can take their long rest while remaining alert to danger, which is really cool. He also gets Integrated Protection. So his body is essentially just a big suit of armor. So he gains a +1 bonus to armor class. He can don, which means put on, only armor with which he has proficiency. And to don armor, he has to incorporate it into his body over the course of an hour, during which he remains in contact with the armor. And to doff, or take off the armor, he has to spend an hour removing it. And he can still do his sentry's rest while donning or doffing armor in this way. And also, while he lives, this armor can't be removed from his body against his will. So he's always going to have a really good armor class, so he's going to be really hard to hit. His last ability is Specialized Design, so he gains one skill proficiency of his choice and one tool proficiency of his choice. So we already gave him an artisan's tool. I am fuzzy on the difference between artisan's tools and just regular tools. Like, I kind of get it. Artisan's tools, like, make things, and other tools don't make things. I'm going to give him, Navigator's Tools. So, you know, he's got a compass. He's just really good at, like, following navigation charts and just really good at keeping track of direction. So there, Navigator's Tools. Those will come in handy when he's using those land vehicles. Last, he can speak, read, and write Common and one other language of his choice. I think I'm going to go with Elvish, because that's just my go-to, especially because, you know, he speaks French, which is very fluid and flowing, and Elvish to me has always kind of sounded the same in whatever context it's been. So beautiful, we have his background, folk hero, we have his race, Warforged. So now that we have all of that, we can roll for his stats. So we're going to take a d6, a six-sided die, roll it 4 times, drop the lowest number, and add up the remaining 3 in order to get one of his 6 stats. So we're going to do that 6 times, get all 6 of them, and then put them where we think they should go. So I rolled for Beefrage, and the numbers that we got are 10, 14, 10, 14, 12, and 17. So pretty good. Getting a 17 is awesome. So now we have to decide what his highest stat is going to be. And just, you know, the little I know about Brendan Fraser is he's very charismatic, but also he's good at archery. He's got that steady hand for photography, horse riding. So I'm actually going to put the 17 into Dexterity, which might be a little avant-garde, but I'm going to do it. So 17 in Dexterity. Next is 14. I'm going to put that into Charisma. So a 14 is a +2 modifier to Charisma. We have another 14. I think I'm going to put that into Constitution. Because he gets a +2 as a Warforged, that's going to bump that 14 to a 16, which is a +3 modifier to Constitution. So he's going to have plenty of hit points, because Constitution helps determine that. Next is a 12. Let's put that into Intelligence. So 12 Intelligence, that's a +1. And then there's 2 10s, which automatically are going to be slotted into Strength and Wisdom. 10 is like the average person, so +0 to Strength, +0 to Wisdom. I would have liked those to have modifiers, but the dice tell a story, so we gotta use what we got. So there's also an additional +1 that we can fit in from the Warforged ability score improvement. And in D&D, the modifiers only go up every even number. So I'm looking at this, and there's only one odd number there, the 17 in dexterity. So we can use that plus 1 to make that an 18 in dexterity, which is now a plus 4 modifier, which is very good, especially to start with. So Brandon Fraser's stats to start are 10 strength, 18 dexterity, 16 constitution, 12 intelligence, 10 wisdom, and 14 charisma. That's not bad. Now that we have all of that squared away, we get to pick his class. So what class do we think Brendan Fraser is going to be? I think I am going to start with fighter. I think I'm going to go fighter first. So as a fighter, he's going to start with 13 hit points, which is very good. Fighters use d10s for their hit dice, and at first level, which is the highest number on the die, a 10, plus his constitution modifier of plus 3. 10 plus 3, 13, 13 hit points at first level, awesome. He's going to have proficiencies in light armor, medium armor, heavy armor, and shields. He also gets proficiency with simple weapons and martial weapons, and proficiency in strength and constitution saving throws. So proficiency bonus at first level is plus 2 until 5th level. So strength, he has plus 0 to that, so that's plus 2 to strength saving throws, and plus 5 to constitution saving throws. Very good. Now he's also going to choose 2 additional skills to be proficient in, from acrobatics, animal handling, athletics, history, insight, intimidation, perception, and survival. Let's see, he's already proficient in animal handling and survival, so let's go perception. Perception is very useful. He doesn't have any bonus to wisdom, which is what perception uses, but now that he's proficient, that's still going to be a plus 2, so better than a plus 0, definitely. Let's also do athletics. Let's do athletics. So just like with perception, he has a plus 0 to strength, which corresponds to athletics, but now he's got a plus 2. So honestly, none of his skills are especially good, but that's okay. We'll give him some things to make them better. Right now, his highest skills are acrobatics, sleight of hand, and stealth, which all use his dexterity, and he's not proficient in any of them, so those are all just plus 4. So his highest skill bonus is plus 4, which is not great. It's not great, but we'll fix those if we can as we go on. Oh, and we also add one skill proficiency he gets from being warforged. So that can be anyone we want. I'm going to go with performance. Obviously, it's Brendan Fraser. He's a performer, so now he has proficiency in performance. He has plus 2 charisma, plus 2 proficiency bonus, so plus 4 to that. So still not very good. Again, it'll get better as he goes. So now at first level, fighters get a fighting style. So how do they fight? What is their style of fighting? I think we are going to pick archery. So he's going to gain a plus 2 bonus to attack rolls he makes with ranged weapons. Brendan Fraser is an archer, so this makes sense. So that's really awesome, having a plus 2 bonus to attack rolls at first level. Because right now he has plus 4 to dexterity, which is what he would use to make his ranged attacks. Proficiency bonus is plus 2, and now he has a plus 2 from the fighting style. So he's going to get plus 8 to his attack roll at first level. He's such an accurate shot. Just like his uncle, who won gold in the Olympics. Also, as a first level fighter, he gains the ability Second Wind. So on his turn, Brennan can use a bonus action to regain hit points equal to 1d10 plus his fighter level. And he can use that once every short or long rest. So this is a really good ability at lower levels, because it never improves. It's always 1d10 plus your fighter level. So right now, as a bonus action, he can restore quite a bit of hit points, considering he only has 13 total. But as he levels up and his hit points get higher, 1d10 plus his fighter level is not gonna do that much. It doesn't scale well. Second level in fighter, he's going to gain action surge. It's a really cool ability. So on his turn, he can take one additional action on top of his regular action and a possible bonus action. And he can use that once per short or long rest. So that's really awesome. He can knock an arrow, let it loose, action surge, and just attack a second time. Third level fighter, that is when he's going to pick his martial archetype, which is the fighter subclass. So what fighter subclass do we think is most fitting for Brendan Fraser? I feel like I've talked about archery a bit, so I'm going to go with the Arcane Archer subclass. So now he can kind of weave magic into his attacks. And I think it's fitting because the description of Arcane Archer, it talks about it's a unique elven method. Arcane Archers are some of the most elite warriors among the elves, and we gave him the elvish language, so it fits with that. But as an Arcane Archer, he's going to get Arcane Archer lore. So he's going to gain proficiency in either the Arcana or Nature skill. I think I'm going to go with Nature. So that is now a +3 to Nature, because he has a +1 to Intelligence, which is what Nature uses. And he can also learn either the Prestidigitation or the Druidcraft cantrip. And I think I'm going to go with Druidcraft. I feel like Brendan Fraser is very outdoorsy, and having just a little bit of druid magic at his disposal will be really cool for him. Now, the big ability he gets as an Arcane Archer is called Arcane Shot. So he's going to learn two Arcane Shot options of his choice. We'll get to that in a sec. But once per turn, when he fires an arrow from a short bow or long bow as part of the attack action, he can apply one of the Arcane Shot options to that arrow. So what's really cool about this ability is he can decide to add an Arcane Shot when the arrow hits a creature. So he doesn't have to call this and expend a use of this before knowing that it hits. And I really like that because it sucks when it's like, okay, I have a limited use of this. I don't even know if it's going to do anything. But now he knows he hits. Cool, I'm going to decide to expend a use of this now. And right now he has two uses of the ability, and he's going to regain all expended uses of it when he finishes a short or long rest. And what's great is long rests for him are only 6 hours, but he doesn't even need those because all of his abilities so far come back on short rests, which is just an hour of light activity. So the Arcane Shot options all correspond to the different schools of magic, which is pretty cool. And if the option requires a saving throw, the Arcane Shot save DC is calculated as follows. And the save DC is the number that your enemy has to equal or beat in order to resist the effects. So the DC is 8, plus his proficiency bonus, plus his intelligence modifier. Well, we know proficiency bonus is 2, intelligence modifier is 1, so the save DC for his arcane shots are only going to be 11, which is not very good. But those will get higher as he levels up, and as his proficiency bonus increases. So let's pick the two arcane shot options that he's going to know. Let's see, what schools of magic do we think Brendan Fraser knows? I'm going to say abjuration, which is like protection or defensive magic. So when he hits a creature with an arrow, he can decide to use banishing arrow. So the creature hit has to succeed on a charisma saving throw or be banished. And while banished in this way, the target speed is 0 and it is incapacitated. And at the end of its next turn, the target reappears in the space it vacated or in the nearest unoccupied space that space is occupied. So that's really awesome. Like, he's under attack from a really powerful enemy. He can just temporarily banish it and either flee or re-strategize and then wait for it to come back. So I think we have the abjuration kind of defensive magic. So let's go the opposite and do offensive magic using evocation. So that's going to be bursting arrow. So immediately after his arrow hits a creature, if he decides to do Bursting Arrow, the target and all other creatures within 10 feet of it are going to take 2d6 force damage each. So that's really awesome. If there's a group of enemies, you can just shoot this exploding arrow at them. It's really cool. All right, so that's it for Arcane Archer so far. We're going to go for 4th level in Fighter. He's going to get an ability score improvement. So with an ability score improvement, he can increase one ability score of his choice by 2, or 2 ability scores of his choice by 1, or he can take a feat. I usually recommend holding off on feats until their ability scores are high enough, because typically you're going to use your ability scores a lot more often than you're going to use a feat. So I think right now we have 2 points we can put in. Let's add them to dexterity to make that a 20, which is a +5. So now he's so dexterous. He's so good at hitting things with arrows. Incredible accuracy. And I love that for him. We're going to go 5th level in fighter. Yeah, we're going to go 5th level in fighter so he can gain his extra attack. So this is a really cool ability. So now whenever he takes the attack action on his turn, he can attack twice. So he can fire an arrow, and at 5th level, proficiency bonus increases. So right now, he has +5 to dexterity, +3 proficiency bonus, and +2 from the archery fighting style. So he's going to get +10. 10 to his attack roll, and he can attack twice, and then action surge and attack another 2 times. So he's just going to be releasing a volley of arrows, some of which can teleport you to another dimension or explode. Classic Brendan Fraser. For 6th level, I think we are going to multiclass into Ranger. When it comes to multiclassing, there are like prerequisites for it. So Ranger, you need a dexterity of at least 13 and a wisdom of at least 13. He doesn't have that wisdom of at least 13. I've never cared about that in this podcast. They multiclass if I want them to multiclass. So he's going into Ranger for 6th level. As a Ranger, he's going to gain an additional skill from the class's skill list. So Rangers, he can pick 1 skill from animal handling, athletics, insight, investigation, nature, perception, stealth, and survival. And I think we're going to go with stealth. So stealth uses dexterity, which is +5, proficiency bonus is +3. So right now he has 8 to stealth. I think that is so awesome. So as a ranger, he is going to gain a favored enemy. So he's going to choose a type of favored enemy: beasts, fey, humanoids, monstrosities, or undead. I'm going to say, because of the mummy, we gotta make it undead, right? We have to. So now he's going to gain a +2 bonus to damage rolls with weapon attacks against creatures of the chosen type. Awesome. He's going to deal an additional 2 damage every time he attacks an undead. And he's going to have advantage on survival checks to track his favored enemies, as well as on intelligence checks to recall information about them. When he gains the favored enemy feature, he's also going to learn 1 language of his choice, which is typically 1 spoken by his favored enemy. But languages spoken by undead are just whatever they knew in life, usually. So I think it can be whatever language we want. I joked about making him an Asimar, like descended from Celestials, so let's give him the Celestial language. So now he can speak Common, Elvish, and Celestial. And he also gets the Natural Explorer ability. So he's going to be able to ignore difficult terrain, and he's going to have advantage on initiative rolls. So initiative, it just uses your dexterity modifier. He has a +5 to his initiative, and now he has advantage on it as well. So he's going to be the first to act in combat more often than not, which is great because he also gets the ability where on his first turn during combat, he's going to have advantage on attack rolls against creatures that have not yet acted. So he's going to be able to use this pretty much at the start of every battle, where he's going to gain advantage on that first round of attacks. And he can attack up to 4 times on his first turn if he action surges. So he can potentially make 4 attacks with advantage on his first turn. That's very cool. He's also good at navigating the wilderness, which I think makes sense because we did give him Navigator's Tools as one of his tool proficiencies. So difficult terrain is not going to slow his group's travel. His group can't become lost except by magical means. Even when he's engaged in another activity while traveling, he can still remain alert to danger. And I like that because he's a Warforged and he already has Sentry's Rest, which allows him to remain alert to danger. If he's traveling alone, he can move stealthily at a normal pace. And when he forages, he can find twice as much food as he normally would. Also, while tracking other creatures, he can also learn their exact number, their sizes, and how long ago they passed through the area. So just typical, like, park ranger kind of stuff. Just being able to have a lot of survival skills in the wild. And he has that. Like a tour guide. Now I am picturing Brendan Fraser as my tour guide going through a national park, and I really want that. I want Brendan Fraser to take me to a national park and tell me stuff about nature. 7th level, we are going to go 2nd into Ranger. So 2nd level as a Ranger, he's going to gain another fighting style. Look at that. So you can't pick the same fighting style more than once. So he's going to have to pick something else aside from archery. And I'm going to choose Close Quarters Shooter, which I think is a pretty necessary fighting style if you want to fight predominantly with ranged weapons. Because ranged weapons have a minimum range and a maximum range, and if anything's outside of that, you're going to have disadvantage on the attack. With Close Quarter Shooter, when he makes a ranged attack while he's within 5 feet of a hostile creature, he's not going to have disadvantage on those attack rolls anymore. So Brendan Fraser can use his really incredible stealth to hide from someone and then jump out right on top of them and be able to attack them normally. His ranged attacks are going to ignore half cover and three quarters cover against targets within 30 feet of him. And finally, he's going to have a +1 bonus to attack rolls on ranged attacks. Well, he already has +2 with archery, so now he has +11 to his ranged attack rolls. So good! In addition to that fighting style as a second level ranger, he's also going to gain spellcasting. So rangers don't have much spellcasting. Right now he has just 2 first level spells, but I think he would use these for kind of like supportive spells like good berries, where he can just create these 10 berries that can heal himself and his allies. Or cure wounds, which is good for healing. Or Hunter's Mark. Hunter's Mark is a really good one, where every time he hits a creature, he can deal an additional 1d6 damage. He can potentially attack 4 times, so on his first round of combat, he can use a bonus action to use Hunter's Mark, attack twice, action surge, attack 2 more times, deal potentially an additional 4d6 damage on one turn, so maybe Hunter's Mark. For his ranger spells, Wisdom is going to be his spellcasting ability. So he doesn't have any bonus to Wisdom. So his spell save DC is going to be 8 plus his proficiency bonus plus his Wisdom modifier. He doesn't have a Wisdom modifier and proficiency bonus is 3, so his spell save DC is just going to be 11. So it's not very good, but I don't think any of his ranger spells are really going to force a creature to make a saving throw anyway. And his spell attack modifier is going to be proficiency bonus plus Wisdom. That's just +3. Again, I don't think he's really going to be using that. I think they're just going to be support spells that we don't have to worry about spell save DC or spell attack modifiers. Now for 8th level, we are going to continue in Ranger. I think this is going to be the last level in Ranger before we hop back over to Fighter and finish off the rest of his levels there. So as a 3rd level Ranger, he gains Primeval Awareness. So now he can kind of communicate with animals. Through sounds and gestures, he can communicate simple ideas to a beast as an action and can read its basic mood and intent. He can learn its emotional state, whether it's affected by magic of any sort, its short-term needs, and actions Brendan can take, if any, to persuade it to not attack. So this is awesome. So say he's taking you for a tour of Yellowstone and a bear comes upon you. Brendan Fraser can be like, whoa, all right, easy. Like, we're all friends here. Why don't you just chill? And the bear will be like, you know what, Brendan Fraser, you're right. I'm going to chill. I love you in Doom Patrol. And Brendan Fraser would be like, oh my God, thank you so much. And they'd be best friends. But anyway, he can also attune his senses to determine if any undead lurk nearby. So any of his favorite enemies. So by spending 1 uninterrupted minute in concentration, he can sense whether any undead enemies are present within 5 miles of him. And this feature can reveal which of his favorite enemies are present, their numbers, and the creature's general direction and distance from him. So that probably would have been really helpful in The Mummy. He's just like, oh, we don't really have to search. I can just tell you where the mummy is. Don't worry about it. He's just like a couple miles that way. And we just dig straight down. So, you know, we can skip a lot of this. Also at 3rd level, he's going to get his Ranger Conclave, which is the Ranger subclass. And I see Brendan Fraser as an animal lover. We're going to go with the Beast Conclave. So he's going to develop a close bond with a beast. And one of the reasons I choose this is after filming on the History Channel's Texas Rising, which is also where I got the idea of an archer. I'm basing just everything off of this one show that I have yet to see. But after filming, he brought one of the horses home with him. I guess the horse was subject to bullying from other horses, and he saw that the big horse never fought back. So he, you know, sees this gentle giant, and he's like, kindred spirit, perfect. So now I'm gonna say that can be his animal companion. His horse can be his animal companion. So with the animal companion ability at 3rd level in Ranger, he can use his nature magic to create a powerful bond with a creature of the natural world. With 8 hours of work and the expenditure of 50 gold worth of rare herbs and fine food, he can call forth an animal from the wilderness to serve as his faithful companion. So normally the options are an ape, a black bear, a boar, a giant badger, a giant weasel, a mule, a panther, or a wolf. I did say he's friends with that bear he met at Yellowstone, but I think it's gonna be his horse. He can only have one animal companion at a time, and what's cool is if his animal companion is ever slain, which it won't be, the magical bond he shares allows him to just create a new body for it and just bring the companion spirit back. He also gains the companion's bond ability. So honestly, the Beast Conclave is not my favorite subclass, because it doesn't really give much. But I think I want Brendan Fraser to have a horse, so that's how I'm doing it. So his horse is going to obey his commands as best it can. It rolls initiative like any other creature would, but Brendan Fraser is going to be able to determine its actions, decisions, attitudes, and so on. And if Brendan is incapacitated or absent, his horse is going to be able to act on its own. So his companion is going to use Brendan's proficiency bonus rather than its own. And in addition to the areas where it normally uses its proficiency bonus, an animal companion is also going to add its proficiency bonus to its armor class and to its damage rolls. So the higher B. Fraser's proficiency bonus is, the more powerful his horse is going to be. His animal companion is also going to gain proficiency in two skills of Brendan's choice. It also becomes proficient with all saving throws. So that's really cool. Your horse is just really good at resisting other effects. What's also really cool is whenever Brendan gains the ability score improvement class feature, his companion's abilities can also improve. It can't take a feat, which is unfortunate, because I would love a horse with a mounted combatant feat, which is essentially just a horse riding a horse. But anyway, he can gain an ability score improvement whenever Brendan does. So that's pretty cool. Now he just has a horse that can fight alongside him. Brendan can ride and his animal can take his own turn. So say someone gets really close and Brendan's having trouble hitting them with his arrows, even though he has close quarter shooter, he's not going to have any trouble. His horse can rear up and attack them too. Although it sounds like he is very gentle, so maybe he wouldn't, but he has the option to. So awesome! That's what he gets from being a ranger. He gains magic and a loyal horse companion, which is essentially undying. That's a lot of fun. So now for 9th level, we are going to jump back over to fighter to become a 6th level fighter. And wouldn't you know it, that's another ability score improvement. He has dexterity maxed, which is the skill that he's probably using the most. And now he has a horse, so I think it might make sense for him to actually take that mounted combatant feat. Because now he's got a horse, and he is a mounted combatant. So mounted combatant isn't really gonna help Brendan too much, but I think it's fitting because there's some stuff in here that'll help him protect his horse. And I think that's something he just would do. So he's going to have advantage on melee attack rolls against any unmounted creature smaller than his mount. Chances are he's not going to be doing any melee attack rolls, so that won't really apply. But now, if someone targets his mount for an attack, Brendan can force that attack on him instead. So if someone comes after his horse, he can kind of interpose himself in the way, kind of shift a bit so that they hit him instead. The last ability is, if his horse is subjected to an effect that allows it to make a dexterity saving throw to take only half damage, it's instead going to take no damage if it succeeds on the saving throw, and only half damage if it fails. So that's really cool. Say someone just shoots a fireball at Brendan Fraser, and it just engulfs him and his horse, there's a chance that his horse is going to take no damage from that fireball. I think that's really cool. So the mounted combatant feat just gives his horse a bit more survivability, even though we know if the worst were to happen to his horse, Brendan Fraser can just use some cool magic to bring him back. Now 10th level, that is going to be 7th in fighter. He's going to gain a martial archetype feature, so let's see what the Arcane Archer gives him at 7th level. He now has magic arrow. So whenever he fires a non-magical arrow, he can make it magical for the purpose of overcoming resistance and immunity to magical attacks and damage, and the magic is going to fade from the arrow immediately after it hits or misses its target. So that's really awesome because a lot of creatures have resistance to non-magical attacks. Now, Brendan doesn't even have to worry about that. He's just like, oh, you're resistant to non-magical attacks? I guess I better imbue all of my arrows with some dope magic. Which I'm pretty sure is exactly how he talks. And he also learns Curving Shot. So when he makes an attack roll with a magic arrow and he misses, he can use a bonus action to re-roll the attack roll against a different target within 60 feet of the original target. So I love that ability because he can make an attack and it misses. He's like, oh, but what about his friend over there? And then the magic in the arrow can kind of twist it around so he can try to attack someone else. That's pretty cool. So it's just a bonus action, so he can use that every turn. And he's also going to learn an additional arcane shot option. Let's see, he already has Banishing Arrow and Bursting Arrow. Let's go with maybe Grasping Arrow. So that uses conjuration magic. So when Brendan strikes a creature with an arrow, he can cause these grasping poisonous brambles to wrap around the target. The creature hit by the arrow is going to take an extra 2d6 poison damage. Its speed is going to be reduced by 10 feet, and it's going to take 2d6 slashing damage the first time on each turn it moves 1 foot or more without teleporting. I think that's really cool. If, you know, he doesn't want to banish someone with his magic or make the arrow explode, he can just cause these vines to wrap around someone and slow them down and damage them. So now we are going to 11th level, that is 8th in Fighter. That's going to be another ability score improvement. Fighters get so many ability score improvements. Most of the other classes, I think, get one or two less. So let's go ahead and just give him another feat. Why not? You know what I mean? Let's freaking go for it. He's got Mounted Combatant. I think the next one, because he's an archer, it would make sense for him to have Sharpshooter. So he has close quarters fighting, so if someone is too close to him and outside of that range of his ranged weapons, he doesn't get disadvantage. But now, if he attacks outside the range of his weapon, if they're too far away, he won't get disadvantage on that either. So he's just never gonna have disadvantage. Doesn't matter if you're 5 feet away or 200 feet away, he's got this incredible accuracy. Also, his ranged weapon attacks are going to ignore half cover and three quarters cover. So if someone is mostly covered, like say they're just standing behind a wall and peeking out, even that is enough for Brennan to be able to nail them with an arrow. Also a really cool ability, before he makes an attack with a ranged weapon that he's proficient with, he can choose to take a -5 penalty to the attack roll. So he has +4 proficiency bonus, he has +5 dexterity, so that's +9 to his attack roll. Then he has archery fighting style, which gives a +2, so that's 11. And he has the close quarters fighting, which gives a +1. So he has a +12 to his attack roll. So with a -5, he'll still have a +7 to that attack roll. And now if the attack hits, he's gonna just deal an additional 10 damage. He doesn't have to roll anything. If you hit with that -5 penalty, they take another 10 damage. And remember, with Action Surge, he can potentially attack 4 times. And if he does it on his first turn, while he potentially has advantage, that's 4 attacks with advantage. So even if he takes the -5 penalty, there's a very good chance he's going to hit with all 4 attacks and do an additional 40 damage. If he uses Hunter's Mark as well, that is 4d damage plus 4d6 damage, which averages out to another 14. So he can do an additional 54 damage on his first turn, not even including the regular weapon damage. So good at hitting things with arrows. And now he can hit things on arrows while on a horse. Look at that. That's pretty cool. He's a mounted archer. Okay, 12th level, he is going to gain Indomitable. As a 9th level fighter, he can now re-roll a saving throw that he fails. And that's it. I complain about this ability every time I build a fighter, because it's just such a nothing ability. Especially at 9th level, you're becoming like a really powerful character, and now it's like, oh, once per long rest, you can just re-roll a failed saving throw, and that's it. Ugh, it's nothing. Anyway, let's move on. So 13th level, that is a 10th level fighter, he's going to just gain another arcane shot option. So now he has Banishing Arrow, Bursting Arrow, and Grasping Arrow. I think he's going to use Transmutation Magic. So this is Piercing Arrow. So when he uses Piercing Arrow, he's not going to make an attack roll for the attack. Instead, the arrow is just going to shoot forward in a line, which is 1 foot wide and 30 feet long before disappearing. The arrow is going to pass harmlessly through objects, ignoring cover, and each creature in that line has to make a dexterity saving throw. And on a failed save, they're going to take damage as if they were regularly hit by the arrow, plus an extra 1d6 piercing damage. And on a successful save, a target takes half as much damage. So that's so cool. Say there's just a bunch of people all in a line for some reason. He can hit all of them. I love that. So the number they have to beat on their saving throw, because his proficiency bonus has gone up, that is now going to be 13. So they have to make a DC 13 dexterity saving throw, which isn't that hard, but even if they succeed, they're still going to take half damage. Now for 14th level, that is 11th in fighter, he's going to gain another extra attack. So now he can attack 3 times whenever he takes the attack action on your turn. He can fire off 3 arrows using sharpshooter to deal potentially 30 damage. He can action surge to attack another 3 times, potentially dealing another 30 damage. So good at archery, so good at just chilling on his horse, hitting targets, you know, destroying undead hordes, just pretty effortlessly for him. 15th level, that is 12th in fighter, he's going to gain another ability score improvement. I'm thinking, should we increase intelligence or constitution or something like that? No, I think I'm going to give him a third feat. Why not? Why wouldn't I? He just has so many talents. Oh, he is good at fighting on top of a horse. Oh, he's good at firing arrows way further than they should feasibly go. He's Brendan Fraser, of course he can do it. So I think we've got to give him something that reflects his charisma, because he's very charismatic. Like, one of the reason people, myself included, like him so much is he's just so charming and just pleasant and talented. So I want something that reflects that. So I think I am going to give him the actor feat. It's kind of a departure for this build we've made of him, but Brendan Fraser is a famous and talented actor. We gotta. So his charisma score is going to increase by 1 to a 15. That doesn't change the modifier at all, so it doesn't really do too much for us. But now he's going to have advantage on deception and performance checks when he's trying to pass himself off as a different person. So he has really good stealth, right? So maybe he's just trying to sneak into a place and he doesn't roll as high as maybe he could and he's caught. Just, you know, quick thinking, he's like, oh, I'm not breaking into this place, I'm so-and-so, a person who works here. And he would have advantage on that deception check to try to pass himself off as this other person. What else is cool is he can now mimic the speech of another person or the sounds made by other creatures. He just has to have heard the person speaking or heard the creature make the sound for at least 1 minute. And a successful insight check contested by his deception check will allow a listener to determine that the effect is faked. I think that's awesome. Boom, that was his third feat, the actor feat. So now he is going to go into 13th level as a fighter, 16th overall. And now he's just going to be able to use that indomitable ability twice. Moving on to 17th level, 14th in fighter, that's another ability score improvement, so let's pick another feat. I love this. Oh, he's gonna have so many feats. Usually, characters only have like 1 or 2. He already has 3, and we're picking a 4th. So let's see what else is fitting for Brendan Fraser, not necessarily as this incredible mounted archer, but just as a person. So I think I'm going to go with everybody's friend. So this feat has a prerequisite that you have to be a half-elf, but I think it's so fitting because Brendan Fraser is so charismatic and charming. He is everybody's friend. So I'm going to waive the prerequisite so I can give him this feat. So he just has this magnetic personality. So his charisma score is going to increase by 1. Look at that. So that 15 bumps up to a 16. So he now has a +3 to charisma instead of that +2. Now he gains proficiency in the deception and persuasion skills. Deception and persuasion. His proficiency bonus, now that he's level 17, is maxed at +6. He now has a +3 to charisma, which deception and persuasion both use, so he's going to have a +9 to deception and a +9 to persuasion. So remember, because of his actor feat, when he's trying to pass himself off as another person, he's going to have advantage on those deception or persuasion checks. Well, now he has a +9 to that roll as well. So essentially, this just makes him a much better actor. 18th level, that is 15th in fighter, he's going to gain another martial archetype feature called Ever Ready Shot. So, if you'll remember, as an arcane archer, he has those really cool arcane shots where he can imbue his arrows with special magic, but he can only do that 2 times per short or long rest. Well, now, if he rolls initiative, so if he starts a combat and he has no uses of arcane shot remaining, he's going to regain 1 use of it. So that's pretty cool. That gives a bit more viability to that. Also, he's going to gain another arcane shot option. So he has Banishing Arrow, Bursting Arrow, Grasping Arrow, and Piercing Arrow. I think we are going to do Beguiling Arrow, which uses enchantment magic. So a creature hit by this Beguiling Arrow is going to take an extra 2d6 psychic damage and choose one of his allies within 30 feet of the target. The target has to succeed on a wisdom saving throw, or it's charmed by the chosen ally until the start of Brendan's next turn. The effect ends early if the chosen ally attacks the charmed target, deals damage to it, or forces it to make a saving throw. I love this, so reimagine with me, if you will, the Tour of Yellowstone that Brendan is taking us on. I don't know why it just happened. Maybe I won a sweepstakes or something. The bear comes out, Brendan's able to calm him down, but I'm just being a real shit, you know? I'm littering, I'm carving my name into a tree, just being a real dipshit. And the bear goes to attack me. Well, now Brennan can essentially use Cupid's arrow to sting this bear a little bit with this beguiling arrow and then have it be charmed by me, the little shit, so the bear doesn't kill and eat me. I love that for me, and I love that for him too. All right, so let's go to 19th level. That is 16th in fighter. Hey, guess what? It's another ability score improvement. Let's go ahead and pick a feat. Oh, I love this. He's gonna have 5 feats. Okay, let me think. What do I want for him? You know what? How about alert? I think that's a good one. I feel like Brendan Fraser from, you know, years of doing stunts has crazy reflexes. So always on the lookout for danger, he gains the following benefits. He can't be surprised while he's conscious. So what that means is if someone's hiding and they get the jump on him, normally they can take a surprise round and they can attack him first, usually with advantage. They lose that now. They can't get a surprise round on him while he's conscious. And if you'll remember from being a Warforged, he's always conscious. Even when he's taking his long rest, he just cannot be surprised by anything. He's always ready. He's also going to gain a +5 bonus to initiative. I really love this because he already had a +5 bonus because he has maxed out dexterity. So now he's going to have a +10 to initiative rolls. And because he's a ranger, he's going to have advantage on initiative rolls. There are very few possibilities that he is going to be going last in initiative order. He can't be surprised and he reacts so quickly. So also, other creatures aren't going to gain advantage on attack rolls against him as a result of being unseen by him. So say someone casts invisibility on themselves and they go to attack him. Normally, that would give them advantage because you won't know where the attack's coming from. But Brendan Fraser's got essentially like a spidey sense where they can just sense where they are, so they won't get advantage on him. I love that. Oh, he's so cool. 5 feats. Oh, perfect. Okay, let's go now to the last level, 20th level. As a 17th level fighter, he gains another use of Indomitable. So now I think it's a bit more helpful because he can use it 3 times between long rests. So okay, now it does something. Now it's cool. But also, hey, look at this. He now gains 2 uses of Action Surge between rests. Only one can be used on the same turn, but essentially his first turn in combat, he's going to go first. He can attack 3 times, Action Surge, attack another 3 times. His next turn comes around, he can just attack an additional 6 times, attacking 12 times in the course of 2 turns. That is insane. Just firing arrows out so quickly, his hand is a complete blur as it pulls arrows from his quiver. Oh, so cool. But that's Brendan Fraser. We did it. That's him. So Brendan Fraser, this Canadian-American treasure, he has the background of folk hero, the race of Warforged. He is a level 17 arcane archer fighter and a level 3 beast conclave ranger. His ending stats are 10 strength, 20 dexterity, 16 constitution, 12 intelligence, 10 wisdom, and 16 charisma. For skills, he has plus 6 to animal handling, plus 6 to athletics, plus 9 to deception, plus 7 to nature, plus 6 to perception, plus 9 to performance, plus 9 to persuasion, plus 11 to stealth, and plus 6 to survival. So he ended with a lot more skill proficiencies than I thought because of the everybody's friend feat, which gave him proficiency in deception and persuasion. For saving throws, he's proficient in strength and constitution, so he has plus 6 to strength saving throws and plus 9 to constitution saving throws. Languages, he has common, elvish, and celestial. For tools, he has proficiency in land vehicles, wood carver's tools, and navigator's tools, because, I mean, why not? For feats, he has mounted combatant, which helps him keep his horse nice and healthy. He has sharpshooter, which allows him to make these insane long-distance shots that are completely unfeasible for a normal person. He has actor, because he's an actor. He has everybody's friend, because, hey, it's Brendan Fraser, of course. And he has alert, this incredible sixth sense. He just cannot be surprised. So my vision of him in this kind of fantasy I've created for myself that I'm loving, we're at Yellowstone National Park still. I don't know why. There's a bear who's now our friend. He's on his horse leading me around, essentially. I think maybe I'd be on the bear. So I'm on a bear, he's on a horse, and wouldn't you know it, the curse of Yellowstone comes out at night. Everyone knows this, and a bunch of zombies just come up out of the ground and come at us. I can't defend myself. I have the strength of a newborn dove. My bear friend can't defend itself. It has to protect me. So Brendan Fraser, not even sweating, just reaches into his quiver, which before this I hadn't noticed, even though he has been wearing it for a good 6 hours, and just starts letting loose these arrows, his horse charging in. He's just mowing down these undead zombies while aboard the back of this beautiful big horse that's just neighing. I like to imagine the sunset behind him as he's silhouetted. His horse rears up as Brennan looses arrow after arrow in the oncoming zombie horde, which happens in Yellowstone every night. Everyone knows this. And he keeps me safe from the zombies. And that's it. That's Brendan Fraser. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fantasize Me. You can follow me on Twitter at FantasizeMePod. This was a character suggestion from one of my sisters, not Steph, who was on the Doctor Who episode. My eldest sister, Marissa, she's like, oh, you should totally do Brendan Fraser. Like, it's the Renaissance. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, of course. I love him. So you can send in character suggestions to fantasizemepod@gmail.com. I have a bunch of suggestions. Like, I actually have a list, so I know who I'm going to do for the next few weeks, which is really cool. People have been giving me suggestions. I've been doing them and having a lot of fun with it. And also like to mention my Ko-fi. It's just ko-fi.com/fantasizeme. I have a supplement of 100 elemental spells that I wrote called the Elemental Codex. And it's usually $5.95, but it is 50% off until January 1st. That sale is ending soon. So get it while you are able to get it on sale for $2.97 USD. A lot of fun can be had there. I always forget to mention this, but don't forget to like and subscribe or follow, rate 5 stars, do all the stuff so I can prove to my parents that I'm not a failure. And thank you so much for listening. We'll do this again next week. Bye!